Today is the 20th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today as we gather again around the global campfire. I am grateful to be in this space that we create together every single day. That there is a solitary space in our day, every day, that we show up, and it's a peaceful place, peaceful part of our lives where we open ourselves in safety because, well, we don't really have to guard ourselves from anything here. We're here to listen to the Bible and wrestle with it and see what it has to say and see what it brings up in us as a way of understanding and knowing God. Yeah. I'm glad we have this place. I'm glad we're here today. And I'm grateful for the territory that we're in right now. We have been working our way through the book of Esther. And we are going to conclude the book of Esther today. And so let's jump in. Esther chapter 8, 9, and 10. That same day, King Ahasuerus awarded Queen Esther the estate of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. Mordecai entered the king's presence because Esther had revealed her relationship to Mordecai. The king removed his signet ring he had recovered from Haman and gave it to Mordecai, and Esther put him in charge of Haman's estate. Then Esther addressed the king again. She fell at his feet, wept, and begged him to revoke the evil of Haman the Agagite and his plot he had devised against the Jews. The king extended the gold scepter toward Esther, so she got up and stood before the king. She said, "If it pleases the king and I have found favor with him, if the matter seems right to the king and I am pleasing in his eyes, let a royal edict be written. Let it revoke the documents the scheming Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite, wrote to destroy the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. For how could I bear to see the disaster that would come on my people? How could I bear to see the destruction of my relatives?" King Ahasuerus said to Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, "Look, I have given Haman's estate to Esther, and he was hanged on the gallows because he attacked the Jews. Write in the king's name whatever pleases you concerning the Jews, and seal it with the royal signet ring. A document written in the king's name and sealed with the royal signet ring cannot be revoked." On the 23rd day of the third month, that is the month Sivan, the royal scribes were summoned. Everything was written exactly as Mordecai commanded for the Jews to the satraps, the governors, and the officials of the 127 provinces from India to Kush. The edict was written for each province in its own script, for each ethnic group in its own language, and to the Jews in their own script and language. Mordecai wrote in King Ahasuerus' name and sealed the edicts with the royal signet ring. He sent the documents by mounted couriers who rode fast horses bred in the royal stables. The king's edict gave the Jews in each and every city the right to assemble and defend themselves, to destroy, kill, and annihilate every ethnic and provincial army hostile to them, including women and children, and to take their possession as spoils of war. This would take place on a single day throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, the month Adar. A copy of the text, issued as law throughout every province, was distributed to all the peoples so the Jews could be ready to avenge themselves against their enemies on that day. The couriers rode out in haste on their royal horses at the king's urgent command. The law was also issued in the fortress of Susa. Mordecai went from the king's presence clothed in royal blue and white, with a great gold crown and a purple robe of fine linen, The city of Susa shouted and rejoiced, and the Jews celebrated with gladness, joy, and honor. In every province and every city where the king's command and edict reached, gladness and joy took place among the Jews. It was a celebration and a holiday, and many of the ethnic groups of the land professed themselves to be Jews because fear of the Jews had overcome them. The king's command and law went into effect on the 13th day of the 12th month, the month Adar, on the day when the Jews' enemies had hoped to overpower them. Just the opposite happened. The Jews overpowered those who hated them. In each of King Ahasuerus's provinces, the Jews assembled in their cities to attack those who intended to harm them. Not a single person could withstand them. Fear of them fell on every nationality. All the officials of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and the royal civil administrators aided the Jews because they feared Mordecai. For Mordecai exercised great power in the palace, and his fame spread throughout the provinces as he became more and more powerful. The Jews put all their enemies to the sword, killing and destroying them. They did what they pleased to those who hated them. In the fortress of Susa, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men, including Parshandata, Delphon, Asapta, Parata, Adelia, Aradata, Parmashta, Ursai, Aradai, and Mezata. They killed these 10 sons of Haman, son of Hamadata, the enemy of the Jews. However, they did not seize any plunder. On that day, the number of people killed in the fortress of Susa was reported to the king. The king said to Queen Esther, "In the fortress of Susa, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men, including Haman's 10 sons. What have they done in the rest of the royal provinces? Whatever you ask will be given to you. Whatever you seek will also be done." Esther answered, "If it pleases the king, may the Jews who are in Susa also have tomorrow to carry out today's law, and may the bodies of Haman's 10 sons be hung on the gallows." The king gave the orders for this to be done, so a law was announced in Susa, and they hung the bodies of Haman's 10 sons. The Jews in Susa assembled again on the 14th day of the month of Adar and killed 300 men in Susa, but they did not seize any plunder. The rest of the Jews in the royal provinces assembled, defended themselves, and gained relief from their enemies. They killed 75,000 of those who hated them, but they did not seize any plunder. They fought on the 13th day of the month of Adar and rested on the 14th, and it became a day of feasting and rejoicing. But the Jews in Susa had assembled on the 13th and 14th days of the month. They rested on the 15th day of the month, and it became a day of feasting and rejoicing. This explains why the rural Jews who live in villages observe the 14th day of the month of Adar as a time of rejoicing and feasting. It is a holiday when they send gifts to one another. Mordecai recorded these events and sent letters to all the Jews in all of King Ahasuerus's provinces, both near and far. He ordered them to celebrate the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar every year, because during those days, the Jews gained relief from their enemies. That was the month when their sorrow was turned into rejoicing and their mourning into a holiday. They were to be days of feasting, rejoicing, and of sending gifts to one another and to the poor. So the Jews agreed to continue the practice they had begun, as Mordecai had written them to do. For Haman, son of Hamadatha the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them. He cast the pur, that is, the lot, to crush and destroy them. But when the matter was brought before the king, he commanded by letter that the evil plan Haman had devised against the Jews return on his own head, and that he should be hanged with his sons on the gallows. For this reason, these days are called Purim, from the word pur. Because of all the instructions in this letter, as well as what they had witnessed and what had happened to them, the Jews bound themselves their descendants, and all who joined with them to a commitment that they would not fail to celebrate these 2 days each and every year, according to the written instructions and according to the time appointed. These days are remembered and celebrated by every generation, family, province, and city, so that these days of Purim will not lose their significance in Jewish life, and their memory will not fade from their descendants. Queen Esther, daughter of Abihail, along with Mordecai the Jew, wrote this second letter with full authority to confirm the letter about Purim. He sent letters with assurances of peace and security to all the Jews who were in the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, in order to confirm these days of Purim at their proper time, just as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had established them, and just as they had committed themselves and their descendants to the practices of fasting and lamentation. So Esther's command confirmed these customs of Purim, which were then written into the record. King Ahasuerus imposed a tax throughout the land, even to the farthest shores. All of his powerful and magnificent accomplishments, and the detailed account of Mordecai's great rank, with which the king had honored him, have they not been written in the book of the historical events of the kings of Media and Persia? Mordecai the Jew was second only to King Ahasuerus. He was famous among the Jews and highly esteemed by many of his relatives. He continued to pursue prosperity for his people and to speak for the well-being of all his descendants. First Corinthians 12:27-13. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it, and God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, leading, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. If I speak human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Psalm 37, 1 through 11. Instruction in Wisdom of David. Do not be agitated by evildoers. Do not envy those who do wrong, for they wither quickly like grass and wilt like tender green plants. Trust in the Lord and do what is good. Dwell in the land and live securely. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act, making your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like the noonday. Be silent before the Lord and wait expectantly for Him. Do not be agitated by one who prospers in his way, by the person who carries out evil plans. Refrain from anger and give up your rage. Do not be agitated. It can only bring harm. For evildoers will be destroyed, but those who put their hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked person will be no more. Though you look for him, he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will enjoy abundant prosperity. Proverbs 21, 23, and 24. The one who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble. The arrogant and proud person, named mocker, acts with excessive arrogance. Okay, so we concluded the book of Esther today, and Mordecai becomes the most influential voice in the king's life, replacing Haman, and the Jewish people are rescued from genocide, from annihilation. And in fact, rather than being destroyed, the Hebrew people are given permission to band together and defend themselves, which results in the destruction of their enemies. So it's a fascinating story. There is, I've always been fascinated with this story. There is an apocryphal work called The Additions to Esther that you can find in the Daily Audio Bible shop. And that is because the earliest Hebrew manuscripts, which are essentially what we just read in English, and the Greek Septuagint translation, they differ. And so there's a lot more material in the Septuagint, thus the additions to Esther. So if you're kind of interested, the story is more fleshed out in those additions. For example, in the story we just read, God is never mentioned. But in the additions to Esther, God is mentioned repeatedly. And then we hear of fasting and praying for Esther as she's going to go into the king in what we just read. Those prayers are included in the Septuagint. And there are dreams in the Septuagint that aren't in what we just read. So, additions to Esther. Biblical scholars would disagree whether Hebrew, Judaism, scholars of Judaism or Christianity. So I'm not here to fight a fight that I have no business being in and no dog in at all. If you like the story of Esther, And you kind of want to see this tradition fleshed out, and the additions to Esther, they're easy to get anywhere, but I've read them, and they're in the Daily Audio Bible shop, so you can check that out. But let's move forward from that story into the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians, we reached one of the most well-known portions in the entire Bible. And that comes in Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. And this is 1 Corinthians 13, and we know this as the love chapter. Maybe we can even quote this chapter. What is often lesser known is the context. So, in yesterday's reading, Paul begins to discuss gifts, spiritual gifts, and he shares how each person is uniquely gifted and that together these gifts serve a whole. And then he describes the way that a human body is made up of parts. Some of them are seen and some of them are unseen. And in a human body, all the different parts are needed to make up the whole. And he's, you know, telling us that that's how the body of Christ works. Everything is needed. Everyone is needed. We're each uniquely gifted, each placed, and have permission to be exactly who we were created to be in order to make up the whole. In fact, we have to stop trying to compare ourselves and try to be somebody that we're not so that the body of Christ can become whole. We were created to be in a body that thrives. And so our work is less about comparing ourselves to somebody else and more about dealing with our own broken parts so that we become whole, so that we are where we belong and thrive there. So today, Paul discusses the different kinds of posts or like jobs that might get filled out of these giftings. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, those who can lead and those who can administrate and those who can speak in unknown languages. And Paul asks, can everybody be all of that? And it's a rhetorical question because the answer is no. But one animating force empowers each of those posts or those gifts and parts of the body. And that is love. And that is how we get to the love chapter. Let me show you a way of life that is best of all, Paul says. And then he moves into this most famous and celebrated writing, the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul then begins to name the gifts and posts, revealing that each of them would be nothing, no matter how big, no matter how visible, no matter how celebrated. None of it matters at all without love. Love is what enables our gifts to be used properly. Because we have them, however we have them, and we can use them for our own glory, but for them to be properly used, love is required. It's what empowers us to assume these roles because they are for the greater whole. They are roles of service. And it is what, in fact, holds the body of Christ together in Paul's view. Or for that matter, Jesus said, look, your love for each other is what's going to prove to the world that you're my disciples. So in this chapter, Paul revealed the characteristics that that must become ubiquitous to all of us in order for everybody to be fully empowered to use their irreplaceable and unique gifts within the body of Christ. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It isn't boastful or proud. It's not rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. It forgives. It does not rejoice about injustice. It rejoices when the truth is there and present. It never fails. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful. It endures every circumstance. So Paul told us that all of our giftedness, no matter what it is, no matter how world-class and visible it might be, it is partial and it is incomplete, and it will one day pass away. It will one day be useless. In the same way that we put away childish things when we mature into adulthood. In other words, it isn't the giftedness. It's not the gift that represents where we stand in the body. It's our love. Our gifting is simply our place to serve each other, to build the whole, to bring wholeness. But our love is what pulls us all together. And then Paul says something pretty remarkable. Three things in the end. In the end, three things only are left standing. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And so maybe, you know, all of our energy that we expend in competition and comparison, what if that energy was focused on faith, hope, and love, in whatever context that might mean in our own personal journey and story? Because if Paul's right, that's what's left standing after everything is shaken apart, after everything else passes away. So that's at least worth considering, because that gives us something to aim at in our lives. What will last? So Father, we thank you for the story of Esther. We thank you for coming to this very, very famous passage of scripture and its challenge, and giving us something to see visibly. And yeah, we can look at that and contrast it with our own lives, and we can see our brokenness, because we're just not really capable of loving perfectly. But at least we know what it looks like, and it's been modeled for us in Jesus. And so we know where we're supposed to be aiming, and you can lead us on that path day by day, step by step, as we become more and more whole, we are able to love more and more completely and truly. So Holy Spirit, come and lead us into the truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. This is where you find out what's going on around here, and so be sure to be familiar. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there. The latest being the spiritual connection cards, questions from God to start a conversation, questions to God to help start a conversation. This kind of stuff is all over the place, but not really from a spiritual perspective. And so we have worked really, really hard to craft these. And we kind of blew through what we had, but they're back in stock now. And so check them out in the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Really, like beyond words, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, where the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you, and I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, y'all. It's Taken with Love from Louisiana. I just heard the 14th of August podcast, and Beloved Cross from North Idaho came on, and in response to a prayer that a lady a few days before that had prayed for Jill and Brian, because the Holy Spirit had prompted her to pray for them. And her prayer was both prayers were absolutely beautiful, and I felt it in the Holy Spirit. And then today, as I listen to you, Beloved Cross, the Lord's prompted me to say, yes, Dabbers, we need to pray for Jill and Brian, of course, but y'all, there's got to be so much more that we can do than just be listeners and prayers for one another. You have to know that the cost to put what they are doing on for people around the world is extravagant, but so is our God. And so this is just a gentle reminder to think about if you could give to fund the ministry. It doesn't have to be a huge amount. Anything from your heart would be acceptable to the Lord. Just let Him lead you. Let Him guide what He wants you to do. And then, yes, let's use it to grow the kingdom of God. I pray that you guys hear my heart. I think it was prompted to me after reading Paul's message today on the 14th. So I love you all. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Good morning, Dabbers. This is Grateful Child of God, a.k.a. Kimberly in Missouri. I'm asking you to please send up a prayer for my granddaughter, Kendall. Kendall was born at 16 ounces, very, very premature, and she's now in her 20s. Kendall struggles to make it in the world. She works very hard. She's loving. She's giving. Truly a child of God. But she struggles trying to hold a job down because she's not as quick thinking or as fast moving as others. Could you please send up a prayer for Kendall? I truly thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, neighbors. It's Lisa the Encourager. I have more praises and wonderful news. Yesterday, I met with my doctor after my surgery, and she had the pathology report regarding my tumor and also the regarding my lymph nodes after checking my lymph nodes, and everything was clear. So I'm just so happy. God has made this so honestly just a real trusting experience, really living that through. You know how sometimes you can say words, I trust you, God, I trust you, God, but it helped me really understand that I had to live that and trust Him wholly with whatever were to happen. And I just want to tell you all, thank you so much for your prayers. It really has meant the world to me, and it's made a difference in my life because God heard our prayers, and my outcome is so much better for it. And I just want to, again, thank everyone for praying for me throughout this diagnosis of breast cancer. And I know Jacqueline had called in just the other day with recently being diagnosed with breast cancer. So I want to pray for her today. And as she's just starting this, going through this, So let's all pray together for Jackie. Heavenly Father God, I pray for Jackie, Lord, and I pray as she's just now encountered this diagnosis of breast cancer, God, and I'm on a little bit of the other side of it. I just want to praise your holy name for healing me, Lord, and having such a wonderful outcome. And I just want to pray for Jackie that she will have the same results, Lord, that they will catch it early and that she will be able to...
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is People on the Water from Indiana. And I'm calling in to say that I am grateful to sit around this global campfire to warm up my hands, you know, because it is cold when that sun does go down on whatever side of the equator you might be on. I lift up a specific prayer request for a brother who is nearly 68 years old and is a first-time caller, but has been around the campfire for 4 or so years. He's looking for meaningful work, and I am happy to say that our God is a meaningful worker. And it sounds like there are parts of you that you know what meaningful work looks like for you, but there's also some of that doubt. And that's what I really related to in listening to your prayer request. Is because when I look back at some of the journals that I've kept over the years, I, you know, say one positive thing, but then I follow it up with three negative things that I've done or that I am lingering in sin of. So for you today, you know, I lift you up before Jesus Christ, that he might give you wisdom and discernment and support for this next stage of your life. May not just be towards meaningful work, but I pray that it is the closest you've felt to the personal relationship of Jesus, that you might just experience and be like, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what those 50 years, this is what those 60 years, this it had paid off for this. Holy Spirit, fill us up. In Jesus' name, fill us up. Bye, I love you. Amen.
Good morning. This is Abimbola from Lagos, Nigeria. I'd like to pray for God's Life speaker who discovered a tumor in her heart. I pray for the healing power of God. It resonated with me because I eat healthy. I try to do all these things and I came down with this stomach bug and I've been battling with it for years. But through that process, I've learned more about God. I've known God more. I trust him more. My faith has grown and I'm healed. And so I pray for you today that there will be perfect healing. I pray, my prayer is that by the time you go next, ready for that surgery and they do the scans, that tumor would have disappeared in Jesus' name. What God cannot do does not exist. You will testify in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible community. It's Alec again from New Jersey calling in. I just wanted to respond to Denzel real quick. Denzel, I hear the struggle that you're going through. I am dealing with an addiction myself, have been for many years now, and I know what it's like. When one turns into two and two turns into three and then you hit the floor. God bless you, brother. I know what you're dealing with right now is tough, but I just wanted to encourage you that you've shown a lot of wisdom in saying that tomorrow will take care of itself. The scripture is so full of encouragement for those of us who are going through a daily struggle that the Lord really will care for all of our needs and he will always provide the way of escape. And I just wanted to lift you up in prayer, brother, and let you know that you're being prayed for to make it through the day. Father, I pray for Denzel. I pray that you would give him strength and that you would help him to make it through this one day, trusting in you, and that this one day would become a testimony that if he can make it through one, he can make it through 10. If he can make it through 10, he can make it through 20. And if there's a setback along the way, he can still get up and make it through that next day. Father, I thank you that you are still with us who are battling a repetitive sin or battling an addiction. I thank you, Father, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And I pray that you would lift Denzel up and encourage him and fill him up with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. everybody else who called in today. I pray that God would visit you with great healing, that he would give wisdom and encouragement to your families, and that he would mend all wounds and repair all broken bridges. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you all. God bless you.